The world is filled with many questions, such as, did giants exist?
What is junk DNA? Does it mean that you're trash?
Do you ever wonder if aliens have underwater bases in our oceans, and that's why there are so many UFO sightings off the coasts of islands all over the world?
How serious even is climate change, and when should we start building our rafts?
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast.
And my name is Brenna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet.
Together, we're two scientists who explore the answers to these questions and many, many more in our new podcast,
Mystery of Everything,
available everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to History Tea Time. I'm Lindsay Holiday, and I'm spilling the tea on history. Queens of Europe. Catherine de' Medici. Queen Catherine de' Medici, from the powerful Italian family, married the future King Henri II of France at 13. When he was impaled through the eye during a joust, Catherine ruled France as regent for three of her sons during civil and religious wars. She was also a patron and devotee of mystic Nostradamus. Catherine was born in Florence to Lorenzo de' Medici and his French wife, Madeleine de la Tour d'Auvergne. Her parents were as pleased as if she had been a boy, but within a month of her birth, the baby was an orphan. Her mother died of plague and her father of syphilis. Infant Catherine was cared for by her paternal grandmother, but she died a year later and Catherine was taken by her aunt. When her cousin was elected Pope Clement VII, he returned 4-year-old Catherine to Florence, where she was addressed as the Little Duchess. 4 years later, the Medici family was ousted in Florence, and young Catherine was held prisoner in a convent. These years were the happiest of her life. Holy Roman Emperor Charles V laid siege to Florence, and there were calls for Catherine to be killed and chained naked to the city wall. But eventually the siege ended and Catherine was sent safely to Rome and to the protection of Pope Clement, who greeted her with open arms and tears in his eyes, and immediately set about finding her a husband. Suitors lined up for the hand of the wealthy heiress. Clement was keen to wed her to royalty, as though the Medici family was fabulously wealthy and powerful, they were of common origins. King James V of Scotland was considered, but when King Francois I of France proposed his second son, Henri, Duke of Orléans, Clement jumped at the chance. The wedding of the two 14-year-olds was a fabulous affair, with extravagant gifts from both sides. Prince Henri danced and jousted for Catherine. At midnight, they left the wedding ball to perform their marital duties. The groom's father escorted him to the bedroom and stayed until the marriage was consummated. He reported that each had shown valor in the joust. Pope Clement visited the young newlyweds in bed the next morning to further bless the fruitfulness of their union. Henri showed little interest in his new bride, and she saw very little of him for the first few years of their marriage. At 15, Henri became enchanted with the 38-year-old Diane du Poitier, whom he adored for the rest of his life. But she was by no means the amorous king's only mistress. Meanwhile, Catherine impressed the French court with her intelligence and her eagerness to please. Catherine was a woman of small stature. She had a royal cobbler fashion her high-heeled shoes to make her appear taller, making her one of the first women in Europe to wear high heels. But when Pope Clement died, the new pope, Paul III, broke the papal alliance with France and stopped payments on Catherine's huge dowry. A decade into their marriage, Catherine had not yet had any children, and she was on shaky ground. Henri's older brother, Francois, caught a chill after a game of tennis and died shortly after. As the new heir to the throne, it was essential that Henri have an heir of his own, and he and his father began discussing divorce from Catherine. In desperation, she tried every trick she could find to promote conception, including placing cow dung and ground stag's antlers on her source of life, and drinking mule's urine. Rumors began to circulate that the Italian Dauphine was a witch. As a woman's power was her ability to create life, it was believed that a witch possessed the opposite power and could not bear children. At last, Catherine gave birth to a son, Francois. The real solution to the couple's fertility problems was more likely physician Jean Fernel, who noticed slight abnormalities in the couple's organs and advised them how to solve the problem. Catherine quickly conceived again and gave birth to 10 children: Francois, Elizabeth, Claude, Louis, Charles, Henri, Margaret, Francois, Joan, and Victoria. Catherine's fertility did not improve her marriage, however, and her husband continued to be unfaithful to her. In 1547, King Francois died, and Henri and Catherine became King and Queen of France. Henri granted his queen no political power, while his mistress, Diane de Poitiers, was at the center of court life. Catherine expressed her desire for the Château of Chenonceau as a personal retreat, but Henri gave it to Diane instead. The imperial ambassador reported that Henri would sit on Diane's lap and fondle her breasts in full view of the court. Diane did not consider the queen a threat and encouraged Henri to spend time with her in order to sire more legitimate children. Catherine nearly died giving birth to twin daughters, Joan and Victoria. Joan died in the womb, and Victoria a few weeks later. Catherine had no more children after this tragedy. When King James V of Scotland died, his only child, 5-year-old Mary, Queen of Scots, was brought to the French court and betrothed to the Dauphin, Francois. Catherine brought up the young queen with her own children. She invited mystic seer Nostradamus to court, where he drew up horoscopes for her children, made her a talisman containing human blood, and told her more about what he foresaw for her family, particularly quatrain I-35, in which he predicted, "The young lion shall overcome the older one. On the field of combat, in single battle, he shall pierce his eye in a golden cage. Two forces one, then he shall die a cruel death." In 1559, King Henri competed in a jousting tournament, wearing Diane's colors, black and white. His opponent's lance shattered, and 5 large splinters of wood pierced the king's head and eye. Catherine stayed by his side for 10 days as his health fluctuated. At times, he was well enough to dictate letters and listen to music. But eventually he lost his sight, speech, and reason. He called out repeatedly for Diane, but the queen barred her rival from the room. King Henri died at the age of 40. Catherine took a broken lance as her emblem and wore black from then on. Diane was forced to hand over the crown jewels and the Château de Chenonceau and was banished from court. Château de Chenonceau, one of the most elegant and unique palaces in France, was known as the Ladies' Château for the many women who owned and renovated it. From Catherine Briconnet, who oversaw its construction in the Middle Ages, to Simone Meunier, who converted it into a hospital during World War I and a hub for French resistance in World War II. In next week's video, we'll explore the captivating history of this charming chateau.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
Catherine's 15-year-old son was now King Francois II. and his wife, Mary Queen of Scots, was Queen Consort of France. Her uncles, the Cardinal of Lorraine and the Duke of Guise, moved themselves into the Louvre Palace with the young couple and seized power. The teenage king looked to his mother for guidance, and she had little choice but to work with the powerful Guise brothers. They were devout Catholics and set about persecuting Protestants, called Huguenots, with fervor. When the brothers learned of a plot to overthrow them, they moved the court to the fortified Château d'Amboise. There they launched a surprise attack against the Huguenots and drowned them in the river or strung them up on the battlements, while Catherine, Francois, and the court looked on in horror. After just over a year on the throne, 16-year-old Francois fell ill and died of an ear infection, though many Catholics believed that he had been poisoned by Huguenots. Catherine negotiated a pact with the Huguenot leaders that made her regent for her 9-year-old son, now King Charles IX. The young king wept through his coronation. His mother did her best to protect him, keeping him close and sleeping in his chambers. She tried to broker peace between Huguenots and Catholics who were on the verge of civil war. She invited church leaders from both sides to come together and solve their differences. But she failed to understand the religious zeal of her adopted country, and the peace talks broke apart. The Duke of Guise and his men attacked a group of Huguenots who were worshiping in a barn, killing 74 and wounding 104. Guise was cheered as a hero in the streets of Paris, while Huguenots called for revenge. The massacre of Vassy sparked the French War of Religion, which would last for the next 30 years. Huguenots allied themselves with Protestant England, and battle raged. The Queen Regent visited the front lines herself, and when warned of the dangers, proclaimed, "My courage is as great as yours." The Duke of Guise was shot and killed in battle, and Catherine secretly celebrated the death of her ally, as he had been the instigator of all the trouble she now faced. She took her son on progress around France in an attempt to promote peace and loyalty to the crown. While on the journey, Huguenot forces ambushed the king, and he and his mother barely escaped with their lives. After this direct threat on her son's life, Catherine had had enough of trying to broker peace and set out to suppress the Huguenots. In 1572, Catherine arranged a marriage between her daughter, Margaret of Valois, and Henri III of Navarre, member of a prominent Huguenot family. Seeing this as a sign of peace, many well-born Protestants traveled to Paris to celebrate the wedding. A few days after the nuptials, while Huguenot leaders continued their revelry and nursed hangovers, they were assassinated. The slaughter spread throughout Paris and into the countryside. Somewhere between 5,000 and 30,000 Protestants were murdered during what became known as the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. Catherine was popularly blamed for the bloodbath. Rumors abound that she was involved in the occult and performed black masses with her son. Her Italian astrologer, Cosimo Ruggieri, was believed to be her personal necromancer. Though much of the centuries-long suspicions surrounding Catherine may boil down to cultural differences between the spiritually curious Italian queen and her devoutly religious French subjects. The St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre took a serious toll on King Charles's mental health. He vacillated between bragging about the bloodbath and screaming at his mother, blaming her for the murders. Catherine remarked sadly that she had a lunatic for a son. Within 2 years, his health deteriorated and he died of tuberculosis at the age of 23. On his deathbed, he named his mother regent, as his brother and heir, Henri, was at the time away in the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, where he had been elected king. The new King Henri III dropped everything and returned home. When Catherine greeted her son, she told him, "If I were to lose you, I would have myself buried alive with you." In addition to Huguenots, King Henri also had to deal with the rise of the Catholic League, led by the new Duke of Guise, who felt that the crown was too lenient on Protestants. and his younger brother, François, Duke of Anjou, who coveted the crown and gathered support among the nobility, calling themselves the Malcontents. These enemies delighted in using rumors of the king's homosexuality, so-called devilish vice, to undermine his authority. Catherine's daughter, Margaret, was unhappy in her marriage to Henri of Navarre. Their union hadn't exactly started off on a great foot, and had openly taken a lover. Catherine ordered the arrest and execution of her daughter's lover, cut her out of her will, and never saw her again. In 1584, Henry's heir, his brother François, died of malaria. And after over a decade of marriage to Louise of Lorraine, the king had failed to father any children. This meant the next in line to the throne was his distant Protestant cousin, Henri of Navarre. The result was a succession crisis, with the different factions putting forward their own alternative for heir. In 1587, Queen Elizabeth I of England ordered the execution of Catholic Mary, Queen of Scots. Queen Catherine was deeply shocked at the death of her former daughter-in-law, whom she had raised from childhood. And the wider Catholic world was outraged. Philip II of Spain prepared for an invasion of England, and the Catholic League took over much of northern France. Catholics rose up in Paris, barricaded the city, and refused to take orders from anyone but the Duke of Guise. Henri signed a treaty giving in to the Catholic League's demands and requested that the Duke of Guise visit him in his chambers. When he arrived, the Duke was stabbed to death by the King's guards. At the same moment, 8 other members of the Guise family were hacked to death by the King's men. Henri went to his mother's chamber and informed her, begging her forgiveness and confessing, "I have had him killed. I have done to him what he was going to do to me." Catherine later told her confessor, "Pray for him. I see him rushing towards his ruin." A few days later, the 69-year-old Queen Catherine died. She had devoted her life to her children, but one by one, disease and the war of religion had taken them from her. That summer, King Henri was assassinated by a fanatical Dominican friar, making Henri of Navarre the new King of France. He converted to Catholicism in order to win back Paris and the throne, thus ending nearly 3 centuries of Valois rule in France and bringing the Bourbon dynasty into power. Catherine's daughter, Margaret, was now Queen of France. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. I'll be putting out new episodes every Tuesday, revisiting and revamping my most popular YouTube videos, unburying some of my favorite hidden gems, and adding even more fascinating information for your listening pleasure. Want some visuals with your history? Then check out my YouTube channel, History Tea Time with Lindsay Holiday, where you can find hundreds of videos about queens of the world, royal history, women's history, and more. You can also follow History Tea Time on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. This podcast is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to listen and subscribe to other great shows like Queen's Podcast, Ancient History Fangirl, Redacted History, and more.